Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us today on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, where people from different backgrounds can cross paths for the kingdom purposes. Amen. Now, today, I have the privilege of having back on our program someone who has become a good friend of the ministry, John Meacham. And if you missed any of my prior interview with John, you need to go back and listen to episodes 386 and 387 and get caught up, because those two episodes will give you the complete background of John. And that's the basis and the foundation upon which we're going to continue to build with these upcoming interviews. Now, I don't have the time to recap too much today, praise God, but John Meacham has a special calling and a special anointing, if you will, in studying the Word of God. He has been given the spirit of the Apostle John in understanding, like very few people have, basically what it was like to be the one whom Jesus loved. Amen. His keen understanding of biblical principles and his special assignment from the Lord is to prepare for the soon return of Jesus. Now, actually, that is something every believer should be doing, but sadly, most are not. But John is, and he's taking this charge seriously. And he's here today to talk about something that the Lord has put on his heart, the seven messages to the churches in America. And if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I put the blame for most of the problems this nation is facing right now, not at the feet of politicians, but at the steps of the church. I'm not going to go getting off into that because I'll be here preaching all day on that. But just help me welcome to the program, John Meacham. John, it is so good to have you back on the program today.
Good to be back with you, Pastor Bob. As I may have told you, I listened to our interview yesterday that you did on the divine revelation. It was wonderful. It kind of reminded me of what a good interviewer you are, and it updated me on the fact that what I'm revealing to people is words from my website, dazzlinglight.org. We just did the divine revelation page, which gives folks history about me, who I am, what I am. It gives them some background into the divine experiences that I've had. And if they haven't heard that interview, I would certainly, 386 and 387, would certainly encourage them to go back and listen. And in that, they will hear that I am John, a cousin of Yeshua, as I like to say, and here, as you said, to prepare the way for the second coming.
Amen.
And I cannot amen and amen and amen and amen you enough about the problem in the church is the church of today.
Yeah.
And back in January, Jesus gave me seven new messages for the churches in America to go with the seven messages that he had given me in the Revelation when I was in Patmos. And here, as I told you before, I'm kind of in a cave environment here, so it fits together. But I'd like to open our discussion today, and again, we're going to be on the Heavenly Church page, and anybody that's listening to the podcast can certainly find these words on the Heavenly Church page at thedazzlinglight.org. But I want to open with the words that I used in the Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, which kicked in to that discussion of the seven churches. I am John, your brother, and as a follower of Jesus, I am your partner in patiently enduring the suffering that comes to those who belong to his kingdom. And in that opening, you know, one, I say I'm John, I say I'm brother, and partner is a big word, Pastor Bob. Partner in Christian work for, you know, I cannot thank you enough for all you do to bring in new believers, but it is a partnership. It's a brotherhood. It's a family. And back in January of 2005, Jesus called me to Galilee to write, Is Your Church Heavenly? A question from Christ for every Christian. And this is a church book. It kind of sets up seven standards for the church, seven criteria for the heavenly church, I like to call it. And they're not necessarily what you think of today. The first one is surrender to Jesus. strive for spiritual riches, fight against false teaching, practice intolerance of sin, demonstrate a living faith, seek the lost for Jesus, and worship spiritually hot.
Amen. Now, we're going to do a separate interview for each of these messages, so that way we're not rushed to try and get through it all in one sitting. But why do you feel led to give these messages, and why the American church and not the world?
Well, I think, for one, I had a wonderful boss one time. His name was R.W. Moore, and he taught me a great lesson about organizations. He said, John, every organization is either growing or dying.
Yeah.
And there's no question in my mind that Christian church in America is dying. If the Christian church in America dies, as the church in Europe has died, I'm not sure what the future of Christianity is going to be. I know the churches are growing in China and some of the places in the Middle East, but, you know, for so many years, the Christian church in America has been the stalwart of Christianity. The second reason, and probably the more important, Pastor Bob, is that's where the Lord put me. And it's the messages he gave me. So obviously, more than just John, Jesus' real desire for the churches in America to be born again, almost, because, you know, this past January on the Lord's Day, 1/28/18, Jesus instructed me to write down these seven new messages and send them to the churches in America. Now, as you said, there's a message on each one. This first message is titled Surrender to Jesus. It's one of the seven Heavenly Church sermons that I've done. And each of the sermons opens with the message that Jesus gave that corresponds with that same message from the original letters. This one actually is Jesus' first message here, which would correspond to the message he sent to Ephesus in the Revelation, which is chapter 2, verses 1 through something. I can't remember the exact verses. But I'd like to read you, to open us up, what Jesus said.
All right.
Jesus says, to the angels in the churches write, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven lampstands. And then these are the three commands from Christ, and as is the case with him, you know, they're real short, they're real brief, but they're very important. He says, repent, be born again, follow me. For I am now calling you to prepare Christian churches for my second coming. I then go on to write, Christ now seeks Christians who will surrender to Jesus' lordship and will wear the full armor of God's eternal love.
Amen. Now, why are you keeping it short like that instead of expounding upon those thoughts?
Well, no, it does in the sermon. In the sermon, as we'll get through it, it expounds on those thoughts. That's just the Jesus says part. And I want to reiterate something I said in our Divine Revelation interview. When I use the phrase Jesus says, that's current tense. And the reason I say that is usually he wakes me up at 2:19 in the morning and he says, write this down. So I get up and I have these thoughts in my head and I just write them down. And it's not, I don't diffuse any of my own interpretation. I don't try to understand what they mean. I just write them down and know that that's a message that he's giving to Christians. And that's why it opens here with just this short comment about Jesus says, and these were actually his words.
Okay.
Now it gets into what I say. And going on, just to give it a little substance, it says, Jesus says, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven lampstands. I am God's son, and I was born on 9/19/03 B.C.
Yep. I was going to bring that up at some point in our conversation today because, you know, at the time of this recording, it is December, and you know, there's always this controversy of, you know, well, was Jesus born December 25th or not? I've seen a lot of historical evidence that suggests Jesus was not born in December. But
Well, actually, and I'm sure
holiday.
you're I'm sure you're probably aware of this, Pastor Bob. You know who made Christmas December the 25th?
Well, I know
the Roman Emperor
holiday.
Constantine.
Is that who it was?
The Roman Emperor Constantine did it, and it was originally a Roman festival called Saturnalia.
Yeah.
In other words, the days kept getting shorter. It got to the 21st, the shortest day of the year, and then all of a sudden, the days started getting longer.
Yep.
And everybody was celebrating the fact that the world was not coming to an end. So that they had this huge drunken orgy where people would celebrate that time is going to continue. And it was called Saturnalia. Okay. Well, what Constantine did, and he's also the one that convened the Council of Nicaea, and it's amazing what Constantine did for Christianity. He said, I have to improve the morality of the Roman citizens. So I'm going to adopt Christianity as the religion of Rome, and I'm going to change this feast of Saturnalia to our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that changed, but that was around the year 300-something A.D., and we're still doing it today, Pastor Bob, but I'm going to make a little commentary here that I was going to try to hold back on to later, but I can't. I think that our celebration of Christmas now on 12/25 is demoralizing. I think it is actually leading people into the sin of greed. I really think that it's just the biggest detriment to society. So many people face so many problems because they try to do so much at Christmas that they cannot afford. And we really need to go back, and you and I have talked about this, and I've already started an effort to do it, to go back, and let's at least in the churches, let's celebrate Christmas on the day Jesus was born, which was 919-03 B.C. Now, let me give you a little history.
Did you get that? Okay.
Okay, first of all, it started when my oldest son was born. He's 40 now, okay? And his first word was light. So I knew from the beginning, you know, I'm going to get some messages from him. I mean, I just need to be conscious of what he said. Well, the first number that he liked was the number 9. And then all of a sudden, he liked 19. So here I had this 9 and 19 together. Didn't really think about it much, but, you know, it was God had planted that in my brain, the number 9 and 19 together. Well, it comes along years later, and I start serving as a church pastor in different churches. Every church I served in, I either started on 919 or I finished on 919. And one of them, it was even both. My start day was 919 and my end date was 919.
Okay.
Then I came to realize, after studying all this about, you know, when was Jesus born, everybody was saying it's either April or September, and then looking at what I was learning and what I was being revealed to me, I realized that his birthday is 919, which is also the message I keep getting from the Lord that I need to be ready for the second coming on 919. I think I've told you I've got to go back to Galilee in a future year, be there on 919.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, Lord, I'll, you know, that fits with everything else. Jesus' birthday is 919.
Okay.
What about the year? So last summer, I was spending the night at my mom's house on Lake Norman outside of Charlotte, and I had a dream, and guess what year the Lord told me in the dream he was born?
0003
B.C. And, you know, so I said, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, see how that fits, because I think with any sign we get, we need to, one of the things you tell your readers, you know, your listeners, is fit it into everything else, study the scriptures and all.
That's right.
So I went and I looked, what year was Jesus born? And sure enough, most of the websites and most of the research I did said it was either the year 03 or 04 B.C. The reason it was 03 or 04 is, as you know, the Catholic Church, when they remade the calendar going back to what they wanted to be, Jesus born at year 00, they made a mathematical mistake.
Yeah.
So it actually started a little early. So that's become, for me, it's, you know, you and I talked about, and you sent me on a real pilgrimage in our first interview, what are the armies of heaven doing? So I developed another website page, the armies of heaven, and their main first their main first project, and let me just read you from that, is okay. to prepare the way. As our first united effort to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming, soldiers in the armies of heaven will lead the heavenly church movement to change the celebration of Christ's birth from 1225 to Jesus' birthday on 919.
Amen. Amen. So, how are you getting this message out to try and influence?
Well, first of all, your interview, and I can't thank you enough for doing these interviews, but I also do Twitter, and this morning I actually started out tweeting that message individually to everybody I follow, and then I'm going to tweet it to all my followers. I'll post it tomorrow to the emails I send to the Christian media. So I'm just spreading it out. Mm-hmm. Now, I hold no delusion that this will change anything with Walmart or Target or Amazon or the people that make all their money off of Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do is to get Christians to realize Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about presents. Well, let me just kick right into the sermon here, Surrender to Jesus, because I got three paragraphs about Christmas. Jesus says, my birthday does not mean Christmas trees and unbridled consumption. My birthday means hark the herald angels sing. The glory of heaven came down to earth and the angels sang, glory to the newborn king. The glory of heaven came down to earth and the shepherds felt God's love in their hearts. The glory of heaven came down to earth and Mary and Joseph put on the full armor of God's eternal love. To remember the birth of Jesus Christ is to remember baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the angels, but most of all, to remember God's sacrificial love on display mm-hmm. with the gift of his own dear son. Jesus is God's son, and those who believe in him should remember his birth on 919-03 B.C. as the day the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth collided.
Amen.
And please, 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 let's get away. Let's do not remember this. Let this be a day ruled by human want and greed.
Amen. That's right. And, you know, in my opinion, and this is just me speaking, I think that the Christmas season does open up a unique opportunity for witnessing to people, simply because, you know, the people's hearts are kind of geared towards the Christmas message, I guess you could say. You know, and not only that, but really people from all over the world and different countries, Muslim countries, everyone has to at least recognize that this is a Christian holiday. You know, they may not agree with it, they may shun it, but at the same time, mentally they have to give assent to it, that's what it is. And that's just an opportunity to witness and, you know, possibly reach someone whose heart may just be a little bit softer at this time of year. So I don't think Jesus is upset so much about that because, you know, yes, his birth was important because that's when God became flesh. God came down from heaven and became flesh. But the most important aspect was, of course, his sacrifice, his death on the cross and then the resurrection. I just enjoy, I guess the word is being accurate. And, you know, I mean, I've studied this out myself probably the past couple of years. And I firmly believe that he was born in September. I mean, you know, the shepherds out in the fields at night in the middle of December, you know, that isn't going to happen. The reason the shepherds are out in the fields is because they're leading their flocks out to graze in the meadows and things like that. And when it's cold outside, that grass isn't going to grow, you know. And so that's just one aspect. And I'm not going to take the time to go into. I did a whole teaching, probably a 2-week teaching series on that. But What I hear you saying, though, is that you've got it down where, you know, the Lord actually showed you the actual day. I just got to the point where it was in September.
I need to clarify something.
Okay.
And then you and I have mentioned this briefly before. They're physical facts that are verifiable, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not one of those.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. But they're spiritual acts of faith that we accept because we feel like that's what goes in, as you said, the truth of the Lord's message.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the truth of 1225 is it has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus.
Exactly.
It's something that Constantine did as the emperor of Rome for a good thing, to improve the morality of the people.
Yeah.
Then we have to draw back and say, okay, you know, calendar-wise, what makes sense? And like you said, most of the studies go around September. I've just got a little more information.
Right.
But again, it's spiritual information. It's dreams and visions and stuff like that. And, you know, but we need to, you know, we need to back up for a minute. It's what I'm trying to get people to do. And remember what Christmas really is. And if you don't mind, I'll just kick into the next paragraph about Christmas. It says, Jesus says, my birthday celebration does not need food or family. My birthday celebration needs for all of those who believe in me to come, all ye faithful. Christians come together and celebrate this joyful birth in Bethlehem. Christians come together and celebrate the birth of the King of Angels. Christians come together to celebrate and sing out, oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, our newborn King. You know, you talk about timing. You know, you and I didn't even know each other 3 months ago. And all of a sudden, the timing of Christmas, we're doing this interview on December the 6th, during the first full week of Advent, and talking about Christmas.
Amen.
I mean, how could the Lord's timing be any more perfect
that? Amen. That's right.
It says, the full armor of God's eternal love is now on display and waiting. Waiting for those who believe in Jesus Christ, waiting for those who are ready to discard the mantle of their earthly life and to come forward to join the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
To come forward singing, come forward praising God. You know, the heavenly church was actually not my idea. It came from a sermon I read by a man named John Henry Newman back in the 1850s. And what he said, Pastor Bob, he said, the church is like heaven. In the church, we praise God. We worship God. We sing to God. We leave the world outside and we come in and we let heaven come down and change us.
Yep.
We don't want to go to the church and change heaven to be human. We want to go to the church and let it change us.
Amen.
To be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Come forward filled with the love and light of heaven and then kneel down. Kneel down in celebration before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and joyfully proclaim a very simple statement. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, the birth of Jesus, I mean, like I said, that's, you know, a very important aspect of Christianity, because without him being born in the earth, you know, basically humanity would still be lost. But we also need repentance. You know, it's needful for us to acknowledge that we're just not worthy of anything God has for us. But being born again will give us a fresh start, a new spirit. You know, old things have passed away, all things are new. And, you know, that the repentance and being born again, that couldn't have happened without the sacrifice Jesus did. And the sacrifice would never happen without the birth, you know. So it does all tie together. You know,
amen, amen, and amen. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to try not to scream here. If there's a word in Christianity that people don't even want to hear anymore, it is sacrifice.
Oh, boy. Yeah. The only sacrifice they want to hear is one somebody else will make for them.
Amen. Well, you know, you drop down in the sermon on the website page, and I don't know if you intentionally did this or not, but you lead us right into the next topic. Jesus says, repent.
Amen.
I helped create the world. In the beginning, the Word was with God. Now the Word and God remain in heaven as the world returns to darkness. And another John calls out from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, repent. Another John calls out, from the church of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes in Galilee, turn from the darkness of sin to the light of salvation. Another John speaks out from the chapel on the Mount of Beatitudes. The corruption of greed now consumes the light of God and the Word's creation. Repent. Brothers and sisters, pray. Pray as hard as you can that the Word will come once again to lead poor and humble people before the light of heaven.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's absolutely, that's an awesome word, because what I see going on in the church thing, and, you know, there's an effort, I'll just say an effort being made of, you know, bringing churches together, not having so much of the denominational fights, at least on the surface. But yet I've attended churches that, you know, and the underlying theme is, unless you're part of our group, you're wrong. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode, where we're interviewing with John Meacham. And we've been discussing a message he's received and has studied extensively and is now sharing it, called the seven Messages to the Churches in America, to the American Church. And these are, this series of interviews that we'll be doing, if it does not awaken the American church, then there's nothing else that can be said for it. It's absolutely imperative that you listen to this interview, come back tomorrow for part two, and then share these interviews with your social media. Get the word out. That's the whole purpose in doing these interviews, is to get the word out. So come back tomorrow, catch us with part two with this interview with John Meacham. Till then, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.